الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الشيطان يجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام, respected elders and brothers, if I had to say to you that just outside the masjid there is an enemy lurking, just outside the masjid there is an enemy waiting in ambush, a group of people that want to harm us, a group of people that have absolutely no intention of our well-being at heart, then naturally you would ask the question as to whether what I am saying is true or false. You would want to establish the facts. You would also ask the question, how serious of a risk is this enemy? You would ask the question, what is it that they want from us? And last but not least, you would ask the question, how is it that we gain safety from this enemy? What is our safety exit plan? On one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that it was my turn for the Nabi of Allah to be with me, and he left the home at an odd hour. And naturally, because he left at an odd hour, I felt otherwise. I was overcome with ghairat, this positive jealousy, this spousely love. Nevertheless, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned home, then he noticed that the mood has changed. He noticed the energy was different. So he asked me, Ya Aisha ghirti, O Aisha, what is the matter? Did you have ghairat? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha very lovingly responds, وَمَا لِيَ لَا يَغَارُ مِثْلِي عَلَى مِثْلِكَ. Why should someone like me not have ghairat over someone like you? Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked her, أَوَ قَدْ جَاءَكِ شَيْطَانُكَ. O Aisha, or did your shaitan come to you? Meaning, was it only your natural emotion and feeling, or was there any external force at play? Did your shaitan come to you? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, amazed at the question, she asked the question to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَوَ مَعِي شَيْطَانٌ. O Nabi of Allah, what are you saying? Do I have a shaitan? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds, نعم, yes. She goes further and she asks the next question, أَوَمَعَ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ. Is this only with me or with everybody? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everybody. Then she asks the next question, أَوَمَعَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Even with you, there is a shaitan with you? قَالَ نَعَمْ وَلَكِنْ رَبِّي أَعَانَنِي عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى أَسْلَمُ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, even I have a shaitan, but my Rabb has assisted me and I am safe from him. Just to digress from our topic, we learn in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Nabi of Allah was completely safe from shaitan. So much so that he had mentioned, Man ra'ani fil manam faqad ra'ani fa inna shaitan la yatamathalu bi. Whoever sees me in a dream, that indeed he has seen me and nobody else, because the shaitan is not allowed to impersonate my being. So the Nabi of Allah and the Anbiya were very safe, completely safe from the effects of shaitan. But from this hadith we understand that no matter whose spouse you are, whose progeny you are, whose sibling you are, every single one of us is vulnerable to the whisper and the deception of shaitan. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. If we look into the Quran Sharif, there are many, many ayat wherein Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us, أَلَمْ عَهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Many, many ayat wherein Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us about shaitan being an open enemy for insan. And imagine if we know that an open enemy lies before us and we remain completely unworried about it. How foolish would that be? The main aim and objective of shaitan is to take as many people with him to the fire of Jahannam. And the devil, shaitan, has many tactics and strategies that he adopts to achieve his goal. One of the main strategies that shaitan uses is that he would not drastically tell you to do something beyond your normal habits, but rather he will adopt the method of luring you into the act that he wants you to get to eventually. He will use small reasoning and small acts for you to get you where he wants you to. I give you an example. A person, especially now in this holiday season that we find ourselves in the country, a person is now more relaxed. He's not in his normal routine. So shaitan will not come to him and tell him that, you know what, you don't have to pray your first salah. No. But shaitan will approach him and tell him that now you're taking it easy. You normally used to read the whole year, you read your nafil salah, your sunnah salah. Now if you leave it, there's no sin also. So first he will start with the nafil salah. Then when a person gives into that, then slowly it will progress to the first salah. And before you know it, then the person is missing his fard salah. So like this, shaitan will use small whispers, small things that you can reason with, and then he will finally get you to the place where he wants you to. Another example, a person is working for someone. He and his boss has a very good relationship. Many years of trust has built up. Now shaitan will come to the person and tell him, you know, your boss has so much. He's trusted you with the money because he knows he can't trust you. And he has so much. If you pinch a little bit, it won't affect him in any way. So a person now, he starts with a small 100 rand and 200 rand, betraying the trust that his boss has given him. And after doing this for a few weeks, then shaitan comes back to him and tells him, see, he didn't even notice it. And even if he noticed it, I'm sure he doesn't mind because he has so much. Now this person progresses to the thousands and the 2000s. And as we go, before you know it, even the person who was stealing can't imagine and can't understand how big the hole is gone. He has stolen so much. But had he restrained himself at the first instance of the whisper of shaitan, then he would not have found himself in this pitiful situation. Shaitan, one of the things that he wants to achieve, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ. Shaitan wants to see the breakdown of relationships. Shaitan gets very happy when he causes a fight between husband and wife. Shaitan wants to see how two brothers can start off with jealousy and then it progresses to enmity until such a time where it becomes where the person doesn't care because of the enmity and hatred that he built up for the next person. He doesn't care at all costs. He wants to cause harm and murder the next person. And if we understand that this is all the strategy of Shaitan, then it becomes easy for us for two things. The first thing, if we understand that shaitan is really the bad guy, it becomes easy for us, after realizing our wrong, to go forward and ask our brother for maaf, request forgiveness from him. You know, if you understand, then you can say, you know, shaitan got better over me. Shaitan had the upper hand over me. I didn't realize what I was doing. Really, now I'm very sincere and I want to ask for maaf. And on the other hand, if our brother comes to us with sincere, with a changed approach, with a changed habit, and we can see he's sincere and he asks us for maaf, then we understand that shaitan had got the better over him and we would be willing to and understanding and make him maaf. And we learn this from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We know the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is indeed a very long story. Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers had jealousy over him. Then they threw him in the well. That was the first challenge that he faced. Then he was uplifted from the well and sold as a slave. Then from there, he went into the kingdom. Then he was implicated with the minister's wife. He ended up for many years in the prison. Then finally he came back. He was released from prison. He was entrusted in a high position. And at the end of the story, we know that the brothers and his father Yaqub alayhi salam are now reunited with him. When this happens, then Yusuf alayhi salam starts counting the positives. And he tells his father, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَكُم مِنَ الْبَأْدْوِ. O my father, indeed Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has been very kind to me, that he removed me from the prison, and he brought you all from the far off land. مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. And all of this happened in my life only because Shaitan insinuated between me and my brothers. Again, attributing the act to Shaitan. In fact, he told his brothers, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. I will not blame you today. Because he understood that the blame is actually for Shaitan. Mufassirin have mentioned, with regards to Surah Yusuf, that at that first meeting, when they reunited father and son, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam, then Yusuf alayhi salam embraced his father, and then he asked him a question, that, oh my father, you had full knowledge that I was alive, and I was okay, and if we had to separate in this world, then this would have been a temporary separation, and we would have reunited in Jannah. So why were you so worried about me? So much so that you even lost your eyesight. Yaqub alayhi salam gives a beautiful answer. And he says that I was worried that Shaitan would lead you astray. So from this we understand that we have to worry about ourselves and worry about our children also. That the Shaitan must not lead us astray. Mufassirin have written a story of the person in the time of Bani Israel by the name of Barsis or Barsisa. And there are different versions of the story. This person was given the title of Abidu Bani Israel, the person who made the most amount of ibadat in the time of Bani Israel. The story goes as, in the time of Barsis, the king had given an order that all the menfolk of a certain age group who were able needed to go in jihad. Barsis was excused because of his age and his preoccupation with ibadat. There were three brothers who had one dilemma. They couldn't go in the path of Allah in jihad because they used to take care of their younger sister. So they made mashwara to see how could they overcome the situation and still go in the path of Allah. So the mashwara decided that they will go to Barsis because he is such a pious servant. We would go to Barsis and would ask him to take care of our sister, allowing us to go in the path of Allah. So they come to Barsis and they tell Barsis, you know, the king has ordered for all of us to go in jihad. And we have this dilemma, we cannot go in jihad because we take care of our sister. So if you would take care of our sister, then we can carry on in the path of Allah. Barsis immediately rejects the offer, rejects the request, and he turns them down. Nevertheless, that same evening, Shaitan comes to Barsis and he tells him, you see, Barsis, what are you doing? These people want to go out and carry out the noble act of jihad. Imagine what reward you will get for them going out. You will also get the reward of three people going out in jihad. So all it means is for some arrangements to be made, maybe the next door home, and you can just leave her food for her there. There's nothing difficult at all, nothing to do as such. So why don't you consider it? The next morning he summons his three brothers, and he tells them that, you know, I've given it some thought, and if you can make some arrangements for her to be accommodated in the next door building, and the arrangement will be that I will just leave her food for her outside, and she has to come and collect it. The brothers are very happy. Now they can go out in the path of Allah. They make all the arrangements and they leave. Now Shaitan comes to Barsis and he tells Barsis, you know, every day goes by, you leave her food outside, she has to come out. She's supposed to be in Parda. She has to come out to fetch her food. Why don't you leave it at the doorstep? Brothers, pay attention to the first whisper of Shaitan. In the name of Deen, that the brothers need to go out in the path of jihad. You will get reward. The girl is in Parda. She needs to be in Parda. People are looking at her. This is how shaitan operates. Nevertheless, shaitan tells him, why don't you leave it on the doorstep, leave the platter of food on the doorstep, and then she can just open the door and you know, take her food. But she realizes that this is a good point, an argument, so he does this, and a few days pass. Thereafter, shaitan comes back to him, and he tells him, Barsis, she still has to come out and open the door, she still has to show her face, people are still looking at her. All you have to do is open the door yourself, and slide the platter of food inside the house. Barsis again falls for it. He starts to doing this. Before you know it, Barsis is in the house, starts off with salam and kalam, then they become familiar with each other, and then the act of zina is committed. Now after a few months, this girl gives birth, and shaitan comes back to Barsis, and he tells Barsis that the brothers will never accept us. You have to kill that child. You have to kill this child. So Barsis says, you know, says to himself, this is true. They entrusted me with their sister, and have now committed zina with her. So he grabs hold of the child, he kills the child. Thereafter, shaitan comes back to Barsis and he tells him, that you think this woman is going to keep quiet? Surely she will disclose to her brothers what has happened. Now you have to murder her also. So Barsis goes and he kills this girl. And he buries her a bit far away from the house. And he creates a fake grave close to the house. And he puts in some bones of animals in this fake grave. A few weeks go by, the brothers return from jihad, coming to see their sister, looking for their sister, cannot find their sister. They go to Barsis and they ask Barsis, where is our sister? Barsis says, you know, she fell ill and she had passed on. Her grave is just outside the house, you know, so you can go there and make dua for her also. The brothers very sad about what happened. They go to the qabr, they make dua for her. That same evening, shaitan goes to all three brothers. And he tells the brothers that this man is lying. He had murdered her. And this is not her grave. Her grave is at a certain point. The next morning, all three brothers wake up. They make mashwara and they say that, you know what, we all had the same dream. There must be some merit to this dream. They go looking for that grave. They find the grave. They find some remnant of their sister. They come rushing to Barsis and they told Barsis that you lied to us. You betrayed our trust. We will take you to the king so he can take retribution for this act of yours. Barsis is now very, very worried. What is his fate? On the way to the king, shaitan comes to Barsis and he tells Barsis, you know, Barsis, I am the one that put you in this situation. I am the one that convinced you that you should take charge of and care of this sister of theirs. And I am the only one who can take you out from this situation. Barsis, in his desperation, is worried. He wants to know, okay, tell me, what can I do? How can you help me here? Shaitan tells him, you prostrate to me and make sajda to me. Imagine the person who was termed the Abidu Bani Israel, the person who made the most amount of ibadah to Allah in the time of Bani Israel, is now going to prostrate to Shaitan. They reach the king. Shaitan is nowhere to be seen. Shaitan has disappeared. The king has ordered for Barsis to be beheaded. The man dies on kufr. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala save us. Respected elders and brothers, the whisper and deception of shaitan is true. We have to make ourselves knowledgeable of how to counter this whisper of shaitan. Ulama ikram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has taught us. The question comes about that if shaitan is the open enemy, then how can we save ourselves from this open enemy? Ulama ikram explain in a nice way that ultimately shaitan is the makhluk of Allah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the one who had created shaitan. And the example is given of a person who goes to the driveway gate. He goes to visit someone. And when he reaches the driveway gate, he sees a big board on the gate, beware of the dog. So now he has two options. One is he can open the driveway gate and make his way to the front door and take a chance. Or he can ring the bell and ask the owner to take control of the dog so that he can reach the home safely. Like this, we have to turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for our safety. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us numerous du'as for us to be protected from shaitan. Some very practical actions for us to help us to protect us from shaitan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that when a person enters his home and he enters with salam, he enters with the name of Allah, then a note, an announcement is made that shaitan is not allowed to spend the night in that home. And if a person recites Bismillah before eating his meal, then the announcement is further made that the shaitan cannot join in that meal. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, there's a lengthy incident of him wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had entrusted him with some heap of wealth, and he left him in charge to take care of this heap of wealth that nobody must come and touch it. In the evening, in the night, a person that's dressed very shabbily, you can see he's in a poor state, he comes and he tries to take something from that heap of wealth. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu sees him, he grabs hold of him, and he asks him, what is the matter? He says that I'm in a person of need, I have a family to feed, I have nothing, absolutely nothing. Please allow me to take some wealth or some food from this heap. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, no, I will not allow you. You cannot do that. So he says, okay, let me go then. The next morning, without informing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, ma fa'alaka asiruka al-bariha? Oh Abu Hurairah, what did your prisoner do last night? What happened? Tell me what happened. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, you know, he came, he wanted to take some portion of this heap of wealth, but I caught him, and then he gave me his sad story. I felt pity for him, and I let him go. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kadhubun wa sawfa ya'udu. This person is a liar, and he's going to return. The second night, the exact same thing happens. He says, you know, I got a family to feed. I have absolutely nothing. Please allow me. Abu Hurairah says, I felt pity for him. So on the second morning, again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the question, ma fa'alaka asiruka al-bariha? Oh, Abu Hurairah, tell me what has happened to your captive last night. He says, the same thing has happened. I felt pity for him, and I let him go. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the second time tells him, kadhubun wa sawfa ya'ud. Oh Abu Hurairah, this person is a liar. This person is a liar, and he's going to return. On the third night, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, I knew that what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is true and it's going to happen. So I waited in ambush. As soon as this person came back, dressed in the same way, I got hold of him and I told him, now I'm going to take you to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, this person pleaded, and he says, you know, please allow me to let, I won't come back. And he says, I'll do a deal with you, that I will teach you something, that if you read it in the morning, then you will be completely safe from the shaitan and all evil. And if you read it in the evening, then you will completely safe from shaitan and all evil. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu asked him, what are you saying? What are you talking about? So he explains to him that you should read Ayatul Kursi once in the morning and once in the evening, and you will be protected from shaitan and all evil. So he lets him go. The next morning, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu explains to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what has happened. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kadhubun, kadhubun, this man is a liar, but he has spoken the truth last night. So you should practice upon this and recite to Ayatul Kursi, and you will be protected from the devil. Respected elders and brothers, we are now in the so-called holiday season. We are in the holiday season where many people are now holiday making. Some people have already left, some people will remain behind. But generally, by and large, everybody wants to take it easy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to be absolutely cautious in the places we visit in these times. We have to be absolutely cautious on the whisper of shaitan attacking us with all the good that we did for the entire year. Now is a time where a person can lose the barakat of all of that efforts. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, and he was a person that used to spend itikaf for the entire month of Ramadan in Medina Munawwara. He used to say, just by landing in the airport, because of all the evils in the airport, he could sense that all that fuyuz and ruhani spirit was now depleted just by landing in the airport after Ramadan. So we have to be very, very cautious in the places we visit. We have to be very, very cautious. We should try and create some halal entertainment for us and our family. Hazrat used to say that the responsible people in the family should take up and create this halal entertainment so that our youngsters do not go in the wrong places. Respected elders and brothers, last but not least, we were speaking about shaitan. As a believer, we should never ever become despondent. The shaitan can spend his entire life trying to deceive as many people as he wants. But as believers, we should never lose hope. A person spends his entire life in vice and sin. And all he needs is a few moments of tawbah and istighfar. And then a person can leave this world with the highest form of iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.